Spotlight. Good evening, listeners, and welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Lalema Aneja Dang, and today we shall be discussing about India AI Impact Summit 2026 and its significance. Artificial intelligence is at the threshold of reshaping human civilization, pushing the boundaries of what we can achieve. Indeed, it has opened up unprecedented opportunities for advancements across every domain. Well, the first ever global AI summit hosted in Global South named India AI Impact Summit is all set to happen in Delhi at Bharat Mandapam, to be precise, from the 16th to the 20th of February. It's huge, it's mammoth, with 300 exhibitors and participation of 135 countries. For more on the summit, we are now joined by Mr. Jiten Kumar Jain, an IT expert. Welcome, Mr. Jain, to Akashwani Studio.
Thank you for having me today.
Mr. Jain, what is the significance of hosting the India AI Summit at Bharat Mandapam and how does it reflect India's growing role in the global AI ecosystem?
You know, you would very well recall recently there was an interview at World Economic Forum where IMF gave some sector 2 rating to India on AI, and then our IT minister gave a brilliant pushback saying that how India's AI journey is completely different and we are overwhelmingly successful. So if you carefully see, India is not a typical Western Asia AI story. This is the first, of course, AI summit in South Asia, but India is not trying to copy typical Silicon Valley model. We are building AI at population scale. You see the example. Right from UPI to Aadhaar to DigiLocker, India shows that AI works best when combined with public digital infrastructure, not in private hands, not in private companies, but with public digital infrastructure, which is a public common good. So if you look at the entire construct, India's AI story is not about labs, it is about people's lives.
Who do you think should attend the summit?
Hundreds of participants which are coming from 40-50 countries. There are almost 300 exhibitors. But you see, what India is showing that AI is an equalizer. It is not a luxury. So the biggest impact what you are seeing in India's AI stories on the healthcare sector, agriculture, education and governance. So all those factors obviously are very, very important. You have seen in last 4 to 5 years that there is a surge of AI-assisted radiology labs in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities in India. Uh-huh. This model is unparalleled in the world. You have seen crop advisory model available for farmers. This is unparalleled in the world. Because our size of scale in agriculture sector is huge. Then India is probably the only geography in the world where we are looking at more than 22 languages.
Yes.
Which are used in daily communication.
Absolutely.
So language translation for vernacular access is a huge challenge. So in India, AI is not replacing people, it is reaching people. So for a multilingual country like India, where language is the hardest problem for any sort of artificial intelligence, India's linguistic diversity makes it one of the toughest global AI environments. So here is the only place in the world where AI is working in 22 different languages, dialects and low resource data sets. So if this summit was happening in a Western country or Europe, you would say that people from telecom sector, fintech sector or tech sector should come in. But in this, I think people from healthcare sector, people from education sector, people from even agriculture sector will find it very, very interesting to attend this summit.
Yeah, because actually everybody's a stakeholder in a way. The AI creators and the AI consumers, both are stakeholders.
Absolutely. India is also has been advocating a trust and safety model for the responsible use for AI. Not now, but maybe from last 3-4 years, we have continuously been framing new IT rules and we have been pushing across different world forums that there has to be a very, very trusted and responsible use for AI so that it is not weaponized. It is used for public good, not for disastrous purposes. So as AI adoption grows in developing countries like India or even in the West, that trust in AI will become a national infrastructure where India probably has a very good standing now that we are building responsible AI. We are trying to take out the bias. We are trying to ensure that there is data privacy in place. We are fighting with the deepfake risk at the scale which is not happening in any other country. So India's biggest opportunity today in this summit is to lead the revolution of responsible AI frameworks rather than importing them. So we will set the standards rather than following them. So the country that earns the trust in AI will lead the AI economy. So this is a huge opportunity available here in India.
Well, let's go over to Mr. S. Krishnan, who is the Secretary of MeITY, that is the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, who gives us an overview of this summit, that is the India AI Impact Summit.
मेन इवेंट हम 15 फरवरी से लेके शुरू होगा एआई का. एक इनोवेशन फेस्टिवल होगा जिसमें एआई क्रिएटिव तरीके से कैसे यूज किया जा सकता है उसका एक फेस्टिवल बनेगा जिसमें काफी इंटरेक्शन होगा, लोग पार्टिसिपेट कर पाएंगे. एआई एक्सपो फरवरी 16 तारीख को शुरू होगा सुबह और 5 दिन तक चलेगा. मेन एआई समिट इवेंट 19 फरवरी और 20 फरवरी को होंगी. 19 फरवरी को इनॉग्रल इवेंट और लीडर्स प्लेनरी होने की उम्मीद है. 16 से लेकर 20 तक काफी सारे एआई साइड इवेंट्स होंगे. पीएम हमारी उम्मीद है कि एआई एक्सपो का उद्घाटन करेंगे और उसके बाद वो इनॉग्रल इवेंट में लीडर्स प्लेनरी में और सीईओ राउंड टेबल में भाग लेंगे.
Alright, coming back to you, Mr. Jain, when we talk about responsible AI and the fact that the major challenge in India is the plurality and the diversity of languages and extremely heterogeneous culture that we have, that's a big challenge. How do you think India is coping with it? For example, we have an app called Bhashini, which is translating any one language into many languages. So India has its own challenges. You think we are poised to cope with this diversity in artificial intelligence?
It's a huge opportunity, and see, look at the size and impact of this. So Bhashini translates stuff across 22 Indian languages. Now, you will be surprised to know if you see our currency note, even Nepalese is an official language.
Ah.
So Bhashini also translates Hindi into Nepalese. Now, I recently had a conversation with few of the AI leaders in Nepal, and they were planning to request India to allow Bhashini to be adopted in Nepal, because from Nepal, this research and that the whole development of AI model to translate into Nepalese has already happened, because Nepalese is also an official language in India. They have a free of cost available model. Look at the impact. They want to use this whole model to translate Gantras, Vedas and their own historical literature into the AI models and make products over it. And for them, for that, they needed a good AI model which can translate into Nepalese, and that is readily available in Bhashini. So Nepal, in a way, is a direct beneficiary of an Indian development AI model which is in the vernacular languages. So imagine the size and scale and impact.
That's wonderful, because I know when G20 happened, it was always being said that India has become the voice of the global south. So when we see such significant examples, it really shows that we are being the voice of the global south, and how we can export our indigenously made technologies to the other developing nations around us.
It translates text to text in Urdu also. So if neighboring countries like Pakistan were to give up terrorism and focus on education and literature and history and AI, probably Bhashini is available free of cost, because it also caters to Urdu language, which is the most primary language spoken in Pakistan and Punjabi also. So there is a sizable impact which can happen in India's neighborhood, which Bhashini can do. And this is just one single AI tool we are talking about.
Absolutely.
So everybody benefits. And you also have to see, India is now becoming a country from the IT services enablers to AI builders.
Yes.
We are moving away from being just a service provider in IT to an AI creator nation. And if you look at the trends, you are seeing homegrown models like Bhashini in India. You are seeing open source contributions. We are probably one of the biggest open source contributors in AI today. We are seeing a journey where our startups, our academia, our governments are coming together and building these models. So India, in a way, has won the IT services era 3 decades ago. This is our chance. That AI is our chance to define the next one.
Can AI, that is artificial intelligence, help rural-urban divide?
Yes, obviously. See, one of the biggest beneficiary AI, because it has been inclusive and it is greatly helping education sector and health sector and farming sector. So people who are standing at the last edge of society in those tier 3, tier 4 cities, especially, who are in the farm fields, they're also being the equal beneficiaries of this AI revolution. India is taking the services delivery to the village. In a way that you are not getting villagers to come to city, you are taking AI to the villagers. So for decades, rural Indians had to travel for experts from any field, from medical to biology to crop, they had to travel to cities. Today, you just flip a phone and that expertise traveled to you digitally in the villages with the help of AI. So AI is bringing in doctors, teachers and advisors to the village. This is the biggest revolution happening in rural India. Now, if you look at agricultural sector in our rural India, it is not just farming, it is now smart farming. AI is helping farmers to decide when to sow, what to sow, how much water to use, which crop will, yield better results in this climate stress or, in this climate area specifically, using satellite data, weather models, local soil inputs. So farmers are reducing their losses with the help of AI, and they're increasing the yield. AI, in a way, is not telling farmers what to grow, but it is also helping them grow smarter.
It's helping everyone become smarter. And Mr. Jain,
especially in villages where doctors are few, please go ahead. In the villages where there is a lack of doctors, you are seeing AI-powered diagnostic help from frontline workers. You are being able to detect TB, cancer, and eye diseases early on with the help of AI. You are able to prioritize patients that who need urgent care and who need to go to the cities. So you are taking healthcare to the villagers with the help of AI. So in India, AI is probably not replacing doctors. Probably it is in a way becoming the first responder. A medical responder in the rural areas.
What do you think are the steps being taken by the government to ensure that AI is being taught in schools and at the primary level in education? Because that is very important, as it is said that in AI, the prompts are very important. What you ask is very important. So,
you see, I am not a great supporter of bringing in AI and start teaching them to children even before they grow up. You can't bring AI at fifth class or sixth class. I think, let the foundations of a child grow into the normal education in physics, mathematics and all. Probably, once he's mature enough to understand the impact and the use and comfortable with the screens, maybe in the ninth or tenth class, then you start bringing in, language models, coding models, AI and everything. That'll give them maturity and in a way that'll make them ready for innovation rather than just blindly following the Western models or what is being taught. So, and one good thing about AI is that now AI-enabled tutors can teach the same thing to 20 different people in 20 different languages. You don't need 20 different people. You don't need people who knows 20 languages. So, one model is capable enough to teach people in 20 different languages, pace where child is comfortable. Huh. So every child has a different pace of learning. So AI is also helping school in rural areas with the teacher shortages. So in a way, smartphones in rural areas are now becoming personal teachers.
$1 million question is that will artificial intelligence create more jobs or replace existing ones? What do you have to say on that, Mr. Jain?
I'll say that, if you look at the India story, AI is not about automation or job loss. It is more about access and innovation. Mm. So, it is a story of every revolution, digital revolution. People initially think that, automation or any sort of automated analysis will, kill the jobs. In the short run, it might kill some jobs, but it will create more jobs. Create jobs in data centers, it'll create jobs in research, analytics. So you will find, new ecosystems will develop, new sectors will develop.
Our Prime Minister is as a man of vision, and we see that he's trying to make India future ready. So do you think that we are poised to take the challenges of introducing AI, because it has its own challenges? We need to have safeguards in place. We need to protect privacy in AI-enabled technology.
So India is just not AI ready. India is also using AI to become future ready. It's a people-centric approach what our government is having. We are looking where AI is serving almost 1.4 billion people. So whatever innovations will happen at public scale, they will happen first in India. Mm-hmm. And it will not happen for few people. It will happen for all because of the kind of inclusive growth strategies government has. If you look at India's story, it is also has a nation-building tone. In India, AI is not changing the India's direction. It is just accelerating India's destiny. So, our focus is more inclusive. Our focus is towards responsible AI. Our focus is towards responsible use. Our focus is towards privacy. If you look at India's story, we are trying to build, AI-based solutions at public scale and trying to build them on public digital infrastructure so that, the benefits are available for all, not for selective few.
And will this summit bring forth collaboration between government, academia and industry, which is very much required for AI to flourish?
Yeah, it is already happening, In the summit also, you see the 40% participants will be from academia and industry. And then another 30-40% will be from startup sector and, the new technology companies, and 40% from the government. So, it's a mix and innovative mix of all.
How would you explain Indian indigenous AI different from AI which is being developed in, let's say, China or US?
Problems are different. Our approach is different. Mm-hmm. We are looking at population scale solutions like DigiLocker, Aadhaar and, Bhashini. And most of the global AI is built for Western users. They had biases. You have seen black people with turban in the AI-enabled surveillance ecosystems in the West, flagging off Muslims, Sikhs, or the black people or Africans. India is taking away that bias. We are building neutral AI. We are building responsible AI. And in India, AI is more localized. It is designed for, ground up for Indian realities like, low bandwidth, mixed literacy, different languages, massive diversity. So in India, AI is born local and not translated. We are going building it locally and making it global.
On that note, thank you, Mr. Jain, for enlightening us on the challenges of AI and how we can use AI for the public and how the stakeholders can come together, especially in this summit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, you may also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. स्पॉटलाइट।